Turn with me to the first epistle of Peter in chapter 4. I want to pick up where we left off and we'll begin reading at verse 12 through to 16. We want to consider it in two parts, one this evening and the next Lord's Day, God willing. So we'll read 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 12 through to 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Let me read the verses that we are going to particularly consider this evening, verses 12 and verse 16. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. And then verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. The apostle, of course, as we cast our minds back to the very beginning of the epistle, begins with the divine blessings with which God has blessed his people. You have it in chapter 1, of course, beginning at verse 1 and going through to verse 6. He speaks about the election of God, about God begetting us to be his children, about the Spirit of God working in our hearts for our sanctification. And then he speaks about the resurrection power which is at work within us, and because of which he preserves us for the day of our great and glorious inheritance in the full. Those are the blessings which are infinite and glorious with which the Apostle Peter begins this epistle. But having said that, he has a lot to say about suffering. And we have considered that before in this epistle, but here in this particular verse that we have read, or the verses that we have read in verse 12 and verse 13 and also in verse 14, he speaks about suffering. Indeed, he begins at verse 6, that you will be suffering various trials. And if you look at verse 12 to 14, he uses three specific words or expressions. Well, the last two are words, and the first one is a phrase. He uses the phrase in verse 12, fiery trial. In verse 13, he speaks about partaking of Christ in the plural, sufferings. And verse 14, he speaks about reproach or insult or derision. You know, people mocking Christians. It is not peculiar to Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ, from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, warns his disciples of the suffering to come. You remember as he closes the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely." That's the very first sermon the Lord Jesus Christ ever preached. And at the very beginning, he pronounces this suffering or these insults that will come upon the people of God. In the middle, as he sends out his disciples, the apostles, in Matthew chapter 10, he warns them that they will be reviled and rejected. We read from John chapter 15. And he says in verse 21, this is right at the end of his ministry, "But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." And the Apostle Paul, in his epistles, tells us that it is granted to us not only to believe, but also to suffer for his name's sake. In 2 Timothy 3:12, he says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why does he do this? You see, unlike the Madison Avenue techniques of the marketing world, there's no fine print in the gospel. If you ever sign a contract, whether it be for a mortgage or a business deal, there are all these fine prints. Not only are they unreadable, even if you read them, you don't understand it. But there's nothing like that in the gospel. There's nothing like that in the Bible. The Bible is upfront about what it is going to cost. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples to count the cost of discipleship. There's a cost. Discipleship is not for the faint-hearted. It is not for the deluded. It's not for those gullible souls that want to create a gospel after its own heart and drink in by the millions the gospel of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. And of course, heaven and rejoicing in the life to come. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, indeed the whole of the scriptures, call us to the awareness of this reality, that in this world, which is under the influence and lie in the lap of the evil one, a wicked and perverse generation, there will be sufferings. We are not above our master. There will be fiery trials and there will be insults if we live according to the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and the scriptures as a whole. And this evening we can only consider part of what this portion teaches us, what God the Spirit is saying to us. And the part that we want to consider is this, that when these difficulties come upon us for being a Christian, these are not difficulties that we bring upon ourselves. The Apostle Peter has dealt with that. We've considered that. It is not even the difficulties that fall upon us, which is the common lot of mankind. There are tragedies that befall all of mankind. We live in a sinful, broken world. These are peculiarly the difficulties that fall upon us because of living godly in Christ Jesus. And these difficulties will come upon us. And when they come upon us, the Apostle Peter stresses three negatives. That is, he tells us what not to think or how not to think when trials and sufferings and reproaches are our lot. And it is of necessity important to each one of us that we think about these things and learn these things before trials and tribulations come upon us. He's preparing us to be forewarned, is to be forearmed. And the first thing he tells us, his readers and by extension us, is of course in verse 12. He says, don't be surprised or don't think it strange when fiery trials happen to you. Look at verse 12. Beloved, he's speaking to believers, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. He uses that word twice. Interestingly, that word in the Greek also has the connotation or the implication of surprise, astonishment. It's a word that is used if someone turns up unannounced. Remember, they live in the, I'm not trying to insult your intelligence, but they're not living in the days of communication like we do. Their postal service was not anything like our postal service. So there's no mobile phones without pressing the point home or telephones or any of that. People just turned up at the door, sometimes long lost relatives. You remember the story about Jacob and Laban and Rebecca? He just turns up after a generation at his uncle's abode. Imagine the surprise. That's the kind of word here. But first of all, it also has the connotation of strange. Do not think it strange. Do not be surprised. Do not be astonished at sufferings. Now, having said that, there is a sense in which whenever trials fall upon us, whenever we suffer, whenever we are approached, we react automatically, by default, with this very reaction we are told not to react. Because there is a sense in which it is strange. Imagine living as best as we can, we are not perfect, or speaking about the things of God. And isn't it strange that the reaction by and large of the world is one of animosity, is to run you down as a goody two-shoes, or whatever expressions they use, or they look upon you in a condescending way. That's the nature of the world that we live in. And we would not be human if we don't feel strangeness at this and surprise at this. And if we are believers, we have lived with it for a long time in some measure or another. But nothing compared to those who are persecuted for the Lord's sake. Our brothers and sisters throughout the world who have very little compared to us, they not only have very little, they're persecuted, surrounded by people who have such animosity that they will persecute them physically, doing violent acts to women and children. Nothing compared to that, but we do suffer this strange phenomena in one way or another. You try and tell someone about the gospel, that Jesus Christ is the only way, and immediately you feel the resistance and the distance that many will put. So in one sense, This is something that happens to us, and yet we are told that we are not to live with that, we are not to entertain this strangeness as if we never expected it, because we have been warned. We have been warned that this kind of trials will take place and opposition will take place. I want to deal just with verse 12 and the phrase that he uses. Notice the phrase, fiery trial. That's not pleasant, is it? It's not only not pleasant, it's not simply in the realms of being uncomfortable. This is actually quite serious and frightening. Fiery trial.